We're joined here today with Chris from Unicorn Riot, back from Charlottesville. You know, we're not going to go into so much detail of nuts and bolts exactly of what all went down, because there's already been a lot of really great podcasts already come out. Real quick, I would encourage people to check out the Crime Think Ex-Worker podcast. Has an interview with an anarchist of color that was involved in the organizing. Definitely check that out. The other one from the Radical Underground podcast, also another direct on-the-ground report back. And also today it was just released, the Soulcast, with two other members of Unicorn Riot that gets into kind of the nitty-gritty details of Unite the Right and the anti-fascist successful mobilization that did shut it down and push it off the streets. We are going to talk a little bit about that, but we're also moreover going to be talking a lot about the investigative work that's come in the days afterwards that's been carried out by Unicorn Riot that is really breaking some really giant stories. So, Chris, just to start off, let's just talk about the night of Friday and just what all happened. There was a lot of talk from the neo-Nazis, from the alt-right, that, you know, they were coming into Charlottesville, you know, in peace. They didn't want any violence. How did that actually play out on the night of Friday?
So on Friday, Unicorn Riot, our team, arrived in Charlottesville, I would say Friday evening, as it was turning into Friday night. But before we had even arrived, as we were en route, we were contacted by an anonymous source who was inside a lot of the planning, video and text chats being carried out over Discord, which is a gamer chat software thing. Uh-huh. And so on our way there, we started to receive these leaked communications saying that the different white supremacist organizers were planning on having this torchlit rally Friday night. It was supposed to be a repeat of something they'd done earlier this year in Charlottesville, where they just all of a sudden, Richard Spencer and a bunch of his buddies were there with torches, you know, chanting like white nationalist, neo-Nazi stuff. Uh-huh. And so I think this Friday night was supposed to be a repeat of that, where no one knew that they were going to be there and they would just have this photo op and sort of look scary, but like be unbothered basically due to their secrecy and then go home. But we got word of that. It seems like a few other people got word of that as well. There were definitely it was carried out at Nameless Field on UVA campus. And so a bunch of them started assembling. They showed up. I forget the hour they had planned to start, but they, in their comms that we got, they said not to show up early. And basically no one showed up early. Like hundreds of them started streaming in like right within the same period of 5 or 10 minutes.
Right.
And so it was just us and a few other journalists there.
And this was like, At the peak, it was like over 500 neo-Nazis, correct?
Yeah, at first it was like 100 or 200, and I was like, okay, they have some numbers, but, you know, this isn't anything we haven't seen before, and, you know, they're bringing in people from all over the country, so, you know, these numbers might not mean that much, but then more and more of them just kept coming, and it was, I think they arranged themselves in a way that was visually impressive, and it might have looked bigger that way, but I definitely don't want to downplay the numbers they had, especially on Friday night, that were basically entirely unopposed, at least at first. Uh-huh. And also that the police surely must have been aware of a massive mobilization of people with torches, you know, all from these groups. So, yeah, so they assembled on this field. They started to line up in a certain way. And they all had their torches and they weren't lit. And then Jason Kessler, who was supposed to be directing the event, was giving an interview to some reporters. And I tried to interview him, and he said something about white genocide. And I kept asking him to clarify what that was. And he basically just started walking away from me. Not really, you know, anyone familiar with the theory of white genocide knows that it's completely baseless and based on pseudoscience or just things that aren't true. Right. I was hoping to get him to state his basis for this theory, and he just wouldn't, I think, because he knows that there's nothing to it, and just sort of walked away. And at that point, he himself, but mostly members of his security team, particularly Chris Cantwell from the Radical Agenda podcast, got really physically aggressive with myself and other Unicorn Riot reporters, like hitting my phone out of our hand, pushing us, trying to trip us. So I would say right away, just to members of the media, not to counter protesters who were trying to confront them. Like there were people that came there to violently confront fascists. We were journalists there to interview them, and they were already putting hands on us, being really aggressive to us right away. When I would think that even if they think we're biased against them, a lot of Nazis are quick to use even hostile media as a chance to say their thing. And these guys didn't even want to do that. They responded with violence, you know, to people with cameras asking them questions.
What were they saying to you while they were engaging with you?
At first, I mean, oh gosh, it's so hard to remember because it's like so much happened. But they would say things like, I mean, Kessler answered me at first. He talked about just how people don't want to recognize white people, and like white people just have rights too, and you know, they're not white supremacists, they're just pro-white, and really just a lot of the same things we've heard from these people, you know, before.
Right.
But when they were engaging with us physically, they'd say, get away from him, like, you're in our way, or like, you can't be here, or like, cameras down. Like, the ways they were verbally addressing me, I've only ever heard police give orders to people that way.
Right.
Like, there was an air of, like, they were acting like it was, like, we were in their house, and that they were allowed to tell us where we could and couldn't be, you know, which is not how it works with press in a public place.
And were they, did they, like, say, like, you're with Antifa, or you're, you know, some lefty organization, or something like that?
They didn't, at one point, that guy, Pete Teft, whose dad ended up denouncing him in the local right, where he lives, yeah. He... At one point, he was trying to be nice to me, but, like, also try to, you know, sort of being nice in, like, a weird Nazi way. And he was like, oh, yeah, you're Unicorn Riot. You were in North Dakota. I'm from North Dakota. I know all about you, you know. So he tried to – he said that and sort of, I think, took that as, like, an intimidation attempt. But the rest of them, I don't even think they knew that we were with Unicorn Riot, you know, or anything. They were basically, like, one of our female reporters. They just called her a crazy bitch. They just sort of would refer to me as that guy, and they'd be like, keep this guy away from Kessler, when I was trying to ask a question.
Okay. Well, can you talk about
Chris Cantwell was right. Like assaulted a whole bunch of reporters all weekend.
Right. And now he's crying in the media that everybody's making fun of him for making a video where he's crying. Can you talk a little bit about real quickly, just how fast that kind of facade of, you know, we're just here because we love white people and we're not doing Nazi salutes and calling people the N-word?
Yeah, so, I mean, there definitely was, like, racist chants and stuff right away on that torchlit march, but, you know, I guess some of them would argue that, you know, if they, that, you know, we were just chanting racist stuff by ourselves, you know, it's just our free speech, you know, which could legally be true. But they then marched through UVA campus to get to the statue of Thomas Jefferson, where there was a group of, like, some UVA students and other, like, anti-racist protesters who were around the statue.
Right.
And the entire crowd immediately circled them with torches and began like brandishing weapons at them and threatening them and taunting them. And it was, there was maybe a few moments before it turned into like the fight and melee that, you know, millions of people have watched online now. But, yeah. But the crowd, including people who from their behavior seemed to be directing the crowd, immediately moved to surround and attack those protesters and trap them in. It wasn't like the whole thing of like, oh, meet me on the schoolyard and we'll fight like men or whatever bullshit that is. It was like they surrounded people, didn't let anyone leave, and then began attacking. And the crowd recognizing the opportunity to do that and instantly moving to do that was completely, it was just so obvious that they were, you know, they were like, oh, we came here to do this. This is our chance. Let's go right now. Let's do it.
Richard Spencer's Twitter account, his cover of his account is people encircling those young students. And he actually, he did the thing where he retweets somebody and then you say something snarky on the top. He retweeted a local organizer that had said, like, you know, we're surrounded, we cannot leave. And Richard Spencer wrote, fact check true. You know, very, and just his, like, you know, shitting grin, you know, my parents are rich and you'll never take that away from me kind of way. Just laughing at this. But, I mean, you know, for everything that we've heard, that they were calling people racial slurs, they were throwing Nazi salutes. This is on, you know, the video. They were beating people. There's also a report that they threw tiki lighter fluid on somebody that was in a wheelchair and just other students. And also, like, how big was this crowd of students that was there?
The crowd of students was easily under 100 people. I'm rounding up heavily if I say it was 100. They definitely stood their ground, and I would say, like, the fight was not as one-sided as the numbers would have suggested at first, you know?
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it was definitely just the numbers of the Nazi crowd to the small group of student protesters, like, should have, like, I'm not saying that the police actually do work for public safety, but if they did, they would have immediately seen that as an emergency that was a threat to dozens of lives, you know?
And there was children as young as 17 there, we've heard, and also, like, the dean of students was in attendance.
Yeah, so it definitely, like, the University of Virginia let a horde of torch-carrying white supremacists come onto their campus, surround a group of people, including their students, and yeah, like, attack them and, you know, probably try to kill people, as you were saying. So, yeah, that's true. I saw that happen with my eyes. I live-streamed it, and then we have, like, five different video angles of it.
And you all corroborate the reports of people getting fluid put on them and also being hit with torches.
Yeah, the fluid being thrown on people, I've heard that from a few different eyewitnesses. I haven't, it's possible we have footage of it and we haven't found it. That is, I would say personally, I couldn't confirm that, but getting hit, I got hit in the face with a tiki torch. Like, I still have a bruise on and scrape on the corner of my face.
Right.
So yeah, definitely.
So, you know, we don't want to dwell on this the entire time, but I mean, just, you know, looking at everything these lying sacks of shit have said, just about being, you know, we're totally nonviolent, we came in peace. I mean, as a journalist, I mean, how do you respond to this type of shit that they're putting out when they're saying that?
I guess we don't always respond to it directly, because it's like we might respond to it indirectly by publishing facts that would disprove these things, but it's not. This is definitely a challenging thing to cover for us, because obviously, you know, no one at Unicorn Riot is like personally sympathetic to fascism or white supremacy. And I think I like to think that's still a mainstream view for all reporters, that, you know, fascism and white supremacy are just not really good and are probably bad. And so, but we also don't, it's like, we're not a propaganda outlet, and we don't, we're not going to say things that aren't true or misrepresent things.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
So sometimes, but we also don't want to give a platform to fascists. So we're in this weird position of like, we don't want to help amplify them, but since we're reporting on them, we do need to like have some factual representation of who they are, what they're doing, and what they say. And for me, I prefer to focus on their actions instead of their statements, but sometimes we do have to end up quoting them and stuff. But I think generally, to answer your question, the discrepancy between them saying they're nonviolent and just the hours of footage of just like deliberate premeditated violence that we have that they've carried out. White supremacists and especially Nazis are have a history of being pretty skilled at twisting words, you know, misrepresenting things. They practice manipulating people and manipulating the media, and lying to just basically like further, you know, whatever their agenda is. And I think this weekend makes that pretty transparent.
Right. I mean, well, especially when you have somebody like Trump now coming on TV and saying, you know, the alt-left came charging in without a permit. And basically these poor people, some of which are very nice people, these are his words, you know, were attacked. I mean, it's just complete and total bullshit, in my opinion. I mean, obviously, like, they knew exactly what they were doing. They saw an opportunity to surround this group of children, and they took it and they attacked them, and it's just disgusting. I mean, any sort of semblance of their bullshit of like, you know, we were in the right and we did everything right and we did everything by the law and we're totally nonviolent is just total hogwash. And I think that's why everybody has turned on them so much. I just think that there's been a lot of talk about the clashes the next day, but there hasn't been a lot of people that have discussed kind of everything that went down the night before.
Yeah, and I think I know we don't want to keep talking about Friday the whole time, but right. It really paints a very clear picture of how what happened on Saturday, you know, was clearly it was not a freak accident or something that came out of left field. It fit a pattern that was already very well established.
Right, and again, we're not going to spend so much time on this, but I mean, your fellow Unicorn Riders in the Soulcast that was just released today, they made it clear that, you know, the anti-fascists and anarchists and people that came out, you know, just regular community members that came out to protest the Nazis, and many times they were outnumbered, you know, they did not have, they weren't as battle ready, so to speak. They literally fought an uphill battle in the sense that they were downhill, but still they were able to push them off the streets. And I'm just wondering if you could attest to that. I mean, as far as if you could break up the numbers, I don't know if you can kind of put that in numbers as far as on each side.
It's hard to say. I mean, the numbers on Friday night were easier. I mean, it was like a few dozen to, you know, well over 500 or 600. Wow. And then on Saturday, I would say it seemed, well, I mean, some people we had there were there from the beginning, who might be able to speak to it better, but the team of three that I showed up with was sort of like, we got there, we weren't prepared for how early things were going to start, and so we weren't really able to assess the crowds before they started fighting. Uh-huh. And it seemed to me just like, I mean, this is sort of a silly metaphor, but like visually, in terms of like what I'm taking in visually, it just looked like some huge battle in Lord of the Rings or something. Like there's just two colliding hordes, you know, crashing into each other and falling back and crashing into each other again. It was like, I've never really seen anything like that.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, there were thousands on either side. I would say that by the time the racists had gotten pushed out of Emancipation Park, they were outnumbered in a lot of the engagements that we saw.
But when they were, you know, kind of all in there, how big do you think they were?
I don't know. I would estimate they probably had a peak that was maybe over 1,000, but anywhere from 800 to 1,000.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we've heard as well. And then as far as our, or the other side, that was bigger, smaller, just depends on the time.
From what I saw during the day on Saturday, I would say it was, there was moments where it appeared to be equal and then moments where it appeared to be larger. But maybe in specific fights and stuff that went down,
right.
I think there was definitely a few confrontations where in the immediate vicinity of like whatever, battle was going on, the fascists had more people like on that block,
right.
But the overall numbers, especially when you included like supporters or people that might not be like directly engaging, the anti-fascists definitely had more numbers.
Right. Okay. Well, let's just get into it. I mean, let's talk about the work that you've been doing after the initial clashes. What has Unicorn been putting out? You've put out a series of articles with videos and, you know, data dumps. Let's just talk about it. Just throw it at us. What's going on?
Okay. So we were, before we even arrived in Charlottesville, we were contacted by a source basically asking if we would be interested in receiving, both like previous information and like current in real time information coming out of, chat servers that were being used by, as far as we can tell, all of the organizers of this event.
Let's just break that down. When you say organizers, do you mean people that are the heads of these organizations, or what do you mean?
Yeah, so as far as I'm aware, the only name on the permit for the rally in Emancipation Park is Jason Kessler.
Uh-huh.
And the main, there is more than one Discord chat server that was used or is being used for these sorts of coordination conversations. But the main one we've reported on so far is a server called Charlottesville 2.0.
And
Discord is a gamer chat platform so that like groups of like 100 friends can all do a World of Warcraft raid together and have little side channels where they talk about different parts of their stuff. But it's also great for like lots of teamwork stuff. And I guess without to get in it too much, if anyone remembers what Gamergate is, a lot of the like misogynist gamer harassment campaigns have led directly into the modern sort of alt-right movement.
Right.
And so Discord, this gaming app being used to plan these like white supremacist real life, you know, going and taking over a town type operations is just sort of illustrates that to me.
Natural extension, yeah.
Yeah, but so in the Charlottesville 2.0 server, when I was first able to look at it directly, and what you can see, if you look especially at our Twitter, we've been tweeting some screenshots there. So it's on the left of whatever account, on the right when you're signed into the server, it will show you just a list of different members. And so it would say event coordinator. And then under event coordinator, it says the Mad Dimension, which is Jason Kessler's internet handle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jason Kessler is listed in this chat server that we have the complete contents of. He's listed as the event coordinator. And also Eli Mosley, who seems to be another like alt-right organizer or leader that some of the people on some of these calls refer to him as Sir. So people seem to hold him in some authority.
And he's the guy that in the video of the live stream, he has kind of like a, you know, fasci type almost Viking type haircut. He's kind of shorter and stout.
Yeah, he's got a beard, but like not like a long one.
He was the one like directing people, like which, you know, telling them basically how the march was going to work and all that stuff. Is that the guy?
Yeah, and so so Jason Kessler, we know, is on the permit and is listed as event coordinator in this Discord server where lots of things were planned. And also a lot of so Eli Mosley isn't listed as the event coordinator, but he is frequently makes these pinned posts in different sub channels within this chat server where he lays out the rules of, he's like, don't take any screenshots here. If you post any screenshots from here, we'll ban you immediately. So
they don't want it getting out.
They don't. Well, one, they don't want it getting out, and also two, like Eli Mosley saying that is clearly him confirming that he has the ability. It's at his discretion, or certainly at his ability, to remove anyone for any reason from this chat server.
Right.
And so we actually DM'd him on Twitter asking him if he would give us a comment for our story that we're working on. That is basically the extremely damning contents of a server that he helped operate. And he responded basically saying that we were trying to smear him, but being like, why would I say that when you know what I said about violence and how I tried to stop it?
And so he said to you?
Yeah, that's what he said. We'll publish the DM in one of our articles. He didn't. And so we asked some follow up questions that he didn't answer. But so, yeah, he said that we were trying to smear him, and also basically said that he suggested that he was somehow not responsible for the violence and that he actually had tried to prevent it. And so I want to be clear, on the one hand, technically what he is saying is true. We do have a list of, we already published it. It's a general orders document. That's like their sort of rules and plans for engagement. And then also we do have audio recordings where he, either Kessler or Mosley or someone, I'm not sure. I think it's Eli Mosley says, yeah, you know, we don't want people hitting people with tiki torches.
But okay. But one thing, okay, in this PDF, it's like maybe 6 or 7 pages. It's kind of like a what you need to know coming to the Nazi rally, like just basic information. You know, one of the things they talk about is they say, you know, they talk a lot about firearms.
Mm-hmm.
But in a podcast, I mean, in the document, it says like, you know, concealed carry is fine. But basically they kind of say like, you know, if you really feel you need to bring it, you know, go ahead, but just don't do anything stupid. But in a podcast with Eli Mosley and Mike Pinovich, who runs the Right Stuff Neo-Nazi Podcast Network and was going to speak, they both said, like, yeah, bring whatever you need. Like, bring firearms. Like, you know, bring them if that's what you feel like you need to keep yourself safe. So, I mean, they made it very clear, like, bring your shit, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, so I'm only saying that to illustrate that I'm pretty sure that would be Mosley's defense, you know, for himself, that he did make these statements, that yes, he did make statements to a certain effect at one time. But also, so the only reason I bring that up is to sort of respond to it with this other point I made earlier, that Eli Mosley also, from what he wrote in the server, it's clear that he has full discretion to remove anyone. And people are posting things about, you know, like running people over with cars and, you know, posting pictures of cars from a zombie movie running over zombies being like, this is going to be us, or, you know, a picture of a tractor calling it like a multi-protester harvester or something.
This is before the protest.
Oh yeah. This is in the weeks and days leading up to Saturday.
Okay. So there was a culture of promoting violence.
Yeah. There was a culture of promoting violence taking place in his server. There's people explicitly discussing things that did end up coming to pass.
Let's talk about that.
He could have banned any of them at any time. Well, but he didn't.
Let's talk about that. Like, what exactly did they talk about in relation to violence, and what actually came to pass, as you say?
So literally what I'm referencing, let me see, I think I have, this is something we've already published, and I'm going to try to pull the screenshot up here real quick. So hold on, this will take me longer than I thought. But basically there's a bunch of memes of them mocking the death of Heather Heyer after it took place. Uh-huh. But even in the lead up to it, there's someone posted a message saying how they think, they're like, oh, it's legal in North Carolina to run over protesters if they're in the road. Let's see if that's the case in Virginia, which that's not true. It's not legal in North Carolina. That law didn't get passed.
Right.
But they're basically being like, oh, let's see if we're allowed to run people over with cars.
Wow.
And then also... There's a, yeah, so right now I'm looking at a screenshot from some stuff that we were going through last night.
And just for everybody that's listening, you know, after Trump came in, there was a slew of anti-protest laws that were passed everywhere, from making it a misdemeanor for wearing a mask. And also in some places it was discussed to decriminalize the act of running over protesters in a free, you know, on a freeway or on a street. And yeah, I mean, obviously it's playing out in this. And I'm looking at the Unicorn Riot page. It says this article was published on August 14th. It says leaked. Chats of Unite the Right Charlottesville organizers exposed on Discord app. And Baked Alaska's on here. You know, Baked Alaska that has now gone on to say that people across America need to join hands and figure out their differences. I see Andrew Englund, who is the leader of the neo-Nazi infamous website, The Daily Stormer. Also Radical Agenda, which is Chris Cantwell, who is now famous for crying. So they're all in here.
Yep. Yeah. Well, just real quick to clarify, I think the screenshot you're looking at is from, I've been discussing stuff that's in the Charlottesville 2.0 server, mm-hmm. which as far as I know is like a personal, the people in charge of the server were Jason Kessler and Eli Mosley and maybe some others, and we don't know who they are yet. I think what you're looking at, I'm not saying those guys weren't also in this server, but that was the official Discord chat server connected to altright.com, mm-hmm. Which was involved in planning for Charlottesville, and we also have a lot of information from that, some of which we've published. Also, the New York Times apparently had a journalist that was able to get in there. They've stuff about that.
So these people have shitty security, in other words. I mean,
really. Yeah, they think Discord is secure, and yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know. I can't speak to the technical security of it. You know, their personal security is flawed, and that's how, you know.
What do you mean by that, their personal security?
Like, that we didn't get this because Discord is technically insecure. We got this because someone infiltrated them.
Right. Okay.
So Discord, as far as we know, Discord's encryption could still be solid. I don't know.
And this also shows that, like, you know, regardless of wherever these groups fall on the alt-right, whether they're, like, openly embracing swastika, flying flags and all that stuff, or they're groups like Identity Europa, which has kind of a more nuanced approach, they're all working together on this thing. This was a united front of all these different Nazi and alt-right groups.
Yeah. So when I was logged into the Charlottesville 2.0 server, and you can see this, I think we've already published some of these screenshots, and we have a data dump of a few hundred coming up sometime between now and in the morning. But you can see who's logged into the server at the time the screenshots were taken, and it even lists, they went to the trouble of listing each other by group. So it's at the top will be Jason Kessler, the event coordinator, and then it'll say Identity Europa, then like a list of like 20 or 30 users who were identified as being in Identity Europa. Then it says Traditionalist Worker Party with Matthew Heinbach and like one of his fucking Nazi lieutenants. And then Vanguard America, who is who the murderer James Fields Jr. was. Vanguard America has denied he was a member, but whether he was a member or not, he was clearly, you know,
associated working with the group, right?
Yeah, he was either a member or an associate of Vanguard America. They are, you know, clearly welcome groups on this chat server run by Kessler and Mosley.
Well, it also shows that these people have no fear of doing anything online. I mean, they feel they can get on here, talk about killing people, and, you know, they don't have to worry about anything, and they don't.
Yeah, well, and if you read the New York Times article about it, I don't have it handy, but maybe y'all can like search it, link to it or something. Uh-huh. It's definitely worth a read. They are able to do some of the big picture stuff that we haven't yet, just because we're still scrambling to go through the sea of shit we have. But they talk about how there was internal conversations on the board of this company, Discord. You know, I think their CEO is like some young tech guy. He's like a progressive who voted for Hillary Clinton. You know, they're not Nazis. They're just a gaming chat server company. Right. But they knew that these sorts of things were going on there, and different members of their board, some members of the board felt that it was really important that they remove it immediately. And then other board members were like, oh, I don't know. We tell our customers these rooms are private. You know, do we want to burst that bubble? I don't think we should. And so they sort of like, and they made a statement saying that they removed, I think Discord has shut down both the official alt-right server and then the Charlottesville 2.0 server. Either was shut down by Discord or they shut it down themselves out of because they think Discord was coming for them. A lot of their accounts are getting banned, but we do know that there are still servers where these people are coordinating that the Discord company could shut down and has not shut down yet. And we're going to be talking to them and trying to get, I'm not exactly clear what their position is, but I just need to set a time to talk to them. So I don't want to totally, right. They have some responsibility, but they may be doing all they can or not. And I don't want to totally throw them under the bus without more information.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Well, there was that article that was published. And then on the 16th, there was another article that said leaked planning meetings that led up to the neo-Nazi terrorism in Charlottesville. This is on Unicorn Riot.Ninja. Can you talk about this? This says leaked audio recordings of conversations carried over the chat app Discord show how white supremacist neo-Nazis and alt-right organizers prepared for last weekend's Unite the Right, gathering hundreds of racists in the Virginia town of Charlottesville. What exactly are in these leaked audio recordings, and what does it tell us?
So we leaked the video that has audio in it that's in that article is sort of a highlight reel of a larger hour-long conversation we have. That we'll be publishing that in full as well in the coming days. We might just put it in this article. It's really hard for us to like fully publish anything because there's like we just have so much and we're still trying to understand it. But this recording
and this is all public information too. This, like you said, this isn't like people hacked into this. They just were there.
Yeah, and so this is all. Yeah, it took place on August 10th, and it was at the point when. The Charlottesville City Council had said they would reject the permit unless the rally moved from Emancipation Park to McIntyre Park. But lawyers for the alt-right had like kicked it up to a federal court and a federal judge hadn't decided yet. So part of what they have here is, and we also include a document, like sort of like a rules and general conduct document that I believe Eli Mosley produced. And so we also linked to that in this article. And so the meeting is basically them going over this document of sort of like what to expect to come to town and what's expected of you and stuff. And I mean, there's a lot in there. I would say some of it is less interesting than other materials, but one thing that stuck out to me is they said they didn't want women carrying torches. They didn't want women coming out at all. They were basically like, if you're a woman that supports white supremacy, like thanks, but please stay home and cook for us and like get the after party ready. Like don't even come to the thing.
Right. Right.
And, they also discuss, so they have green, yellow, and red contingency plans based on what would have happened with both with the federal court case. And they talk about how they have a security plan they've worked out with the police, but they aren't sure if the federal court case would mean that security plan still stands or not.
And what's so interesting, too, is that, like, I mean, like, you know, we talked about Chris Cantwell breaking down and crying, but I mean, it seems like so much of their confidence came from the idea that they were working very closely with the police. I mean, that seems very clear to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Their confidence in that fact is apparent throughout these chats and audio calls. And, yeah, additionally, we published shit, I forget if we first published it today or yesterday, but there's a lot of, like, HD video that we're still processing and releasing from the weekend in Charlottesville. And one of the more recent clips we dropped shows it's a like a battle unit of neo-Nazis. You know, some of them, like there's one guy with his shirt off and a swastika tattoo. A bunch of them are armed with, you know, either clubs or like rifles and stuff. And they're trying to get to their parking garage. And there's a large unit of riot police blocking their way. But the leader, like the sort of military style leader at the head of this like unit of Nazis, goes and talks to the leader of the head of a unit of riot cops. And they're like, oh, you're parked over there. Oh yeah. Like I'll move my guys out of the way. And these riot cops in formation, just move out of the way for these Nazis in formation to march to their parking garage. And I myself, just as a reporter, other reporters from outlets considered more mainstream than us and anti-fascists or just regular local people routinely would find that police had closed off whatever street at whatever time. And they would not let us through.
Oh, of course. But
they quickly got out of the way for a unit of neo-Nazis who pretty sure had just committed a bunch of, crime. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about that, but I mean, beyond that, I mean, it just seems like they knew that they were working with the police for weeks. I mean, that's what Cantwell said. That's what Kessler said. That's what Spencer said. I mean, they felt that the police and them were just, you know, two peas in a pod and that, you know, they would go with them and protect them, you know, until the end of time. And I think that's why they're so pissed now that things didn't exactly go their way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, I don't know. I've heard that you know, the alt-right saying they have the security plan worked out with the police. I've heard that the police do contest that, and, you know, that doesn't mean anything's true or false.
Sure.
But I don't, yeah, it was definitely apparent that there was some degree of collaboration just from what we witnessed and got video of and just how it all went down. I wonder if, you know, people like Chris Cantwell would have warrants being issued now for their arrest if Heather Heyer hadn't been murdered in a way that set off a national outcry.
Right. Well, let's move on. You just published something today. It says, leaked chats of Unite the Right reacting to the murder of Heather Heyer. How did they react? What were they saying?
I mean, as anyone who's like tried to look at the Facebook comments of any of our stuff, probably already knows that, you know, in the immediate, basically as soon as that car hit Heather, neo-Nazis on 4chan, also in these Discord servers or like on Reddit, on Twitter, everywhere were saying that they found some other identity of some person that they said was a, you know, a communist drug user who wanted open borders and like, oh, Antifa just ran over their own. Like like I personally had to delete thousands of comments on our Facebook posts saying that. So that's not anything new that we got from this server, you know, but there is comments basically supporting that. And then also I would say the most notable thing in that article is people, Augustus Invictus, I forget his real name, but he's like an alt-right lawyer. Like a few hours after Heather got killed, he's basically, oh, are we still on for the rally and gathering we were going to do in the nighttime? Like, can we still, we're still doing our Nazi shit in Charlottesville, right? Like, can I come? And then people are like, no, it's canceled. But they were still trying, like they were, we didn't really see them around as much, you know, but they definitely were still around and were still trying to hold gatherings, you know, after, you know, they basically enabled this terrorist attack. And then this other guy is posts at, he puts an at Jason Kessler's handle and is basically saying, he's saying, we're leaving, but we heard that you're doing a press conference tomorrow and like we'll turn around right now. Do you need bodies for security? How do you want me to open carry or just suit up in boots and gloves? So it almost reads like a Craigslist ad of this guy being like, I am really interested in doing security for, you know, a racist press conference. Like, can I please?
Right. Well, I know we don't have much more time, but two quick more questions. What does their internal discussion say about how they viewed either the success or failure of Unite the Right?
They definitely, this is some stuff we haven't published. Maybe we published a little bit of this so far, but I would say they, some of them celebrated the terrorist attack that took Heather's life as a success. You know, some of the hardest stuff to go through in this is memes and stuff of like, I don't even describe it, but it's like they're, you know, definitely lionizing it and making light of it in a way that's like pretty upsetting.
Right.
And then, sorry, could you repeat the question?
Well, I was just saying, like, looking at their communications, what does that say about how they felt about Unite the Right? Either if it was a, it would, either, blah, if it was a success or if it was a failure.
It definitely seems like, well, a lot of them canceled, either closed their Discord accounts or were banned from Discord or were talking on a server that got shut down. Uh-huh. So a lot of that is less available to us. There is still some of it that sort of reflects that. But I would say the more like hardcore, straight up neo-Nazi elements of it. I mean, a lot of these dudes were basically neo-Nazis, but the ones who were like insist, like some of them were posting memes. It's like, don't say alt-right, say neo-Nazi, you know, like, let's be real.
Damn.
And so those types of dudes that are up in these chats, I think they saw it as maybe not a total victory. I think they all acknowledge their PR problem that they have now.
Right.
But some of them claimed it as a victory because they were like, we wanted it to be clear that this wasn't just like Republican stuff. Like, we're neo-Nazis trying to do neo-Nazi stuff, and we really want to like come out as that and like show up in public and fight to embody that. And so I think some of that, the people that still will be supporting the alt-right and might still show up in public, I think some of them will do feel emboldened, and I think it's, they're, even though they may be getting neutralized as a threat, they might be like more dangerous temporarily while they're still a force. But
right.
I don't know. No, a lot of them are complaining about how Gavin McInnes pulled out or canceled this upcoming rally in Boston. You know, they say that he's like, he's cucking really hard, whatever that means.
Right. Yeah, he's trying to run away as fast as possible. I mean, so many people are. So last question. Oh,
real quick, to answer, I forget if it was, to answer your last question, basically, there's another server we were in called Fourth Reich, which is, you know, Discord has a server called Fourth Reich, and somehow, you know, I assume they can see the name of the server, but it's like still allowed or something.
Right.
But one of those users in there, they're talking about the aftermath and Trump's remarks. And on Saturday, this really hit home for me in terms of, we all know Trump's enabling this bullshit, but right. this is one of the Nazis on the Fourth Reich chat server saying, if there is violence, he has to condemn it, but it's pleasing he hasn't singled out white nationalism.
Right, exactly. Exactly, and then he went on to go even further and basically, you know, back them and say there's really good people in there and it was really the fault of the other side. Which is just disgusting. But, you know, I say, fuck it. You know, let them both hold hands because, you know, they're just...
I don't want to downplay the seriousness of Trump, like, encouraging this shit, but personally, working on this huge story or stories that we have, I was worried about not getting it out fast enough and then less people care, you know, and basically Trump guaranteed a continued media spotlight on all of this. So that is, selfishly speaking, that sort of makes my work a little easier.
Okay, well, last question. I mean, just in the broad strokes, I mean, for people that are concerned about, you know, far-right, alt-right, neo-Nazi violence, what are these investigations into these chat rooms, what does that say about the possibility of continued violence? I mean, what does the public really need to know, and what do they need to be concerned about just looking at all the stuff that you've uncovered?
I mean, there's... some of the threads in here that we haven't published yet are like lists of like who's coming from where. And basically it's, they're all over. Their movement is somewhat decentralized. They have like different cadres training and recruiting in areas. And I would say either all states or most states. And they're like egging each other on to violence and to attacking what they call soft targets.
What do you mean by that exactly?
Like, this isn't specifically in the chats, but how Identity Europa will like try to crash a racial justice training on a college campus because they know there's not going to be like black bloc people to beat them up there.
Right. So they know, you know, in their strategy that they're going after, as you say, soft targets.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this is something that's going down. We've talked a lot about, and we tell journalists about all the time, and it seems like nobody wants to talk about it. But we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for joining us, Chris. Hey, until next time, be safe out there.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for all your work.